Welcome to A Problem Squared, the problem-solving podcast that's a bit like the Women's Football World Cup, in that it's very nice to see a lot more people getting into it.
Yay!
It's just become normal to enjoy.
Yeah.
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 The podcast and the Women's Football World Cup.
It's true.
Do you know what's happening right now? Oh, Beck. So I should introduce ourselves. I'm Matt Parker. I'm like in the World Cup. I'm the sports analyst on the side of the field who's not necessary to make the game work, but does provide occasional insights based on calculations. And Beck is the striker.
Ooh.
As in, that's the only football position that I know, I already knew the name of.
Also, that Beck would know of as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
No goalie, that's one.
No, that's true. Not a goalie, striker.
Yeah, I wouldn't, yeah.
Though that said, I know the football position name. I wouldn't know if I know your actual job title. I guess it's comedian, author, broadcaster? What's your official?
Depends
what you're doing at the time.
Yeah.
So now you're striker. Well, simple. You get the ball, you strike it.
Yeah.
Head of the team, scoring goals.
Strike with a...
Yeah.
A bat.
Back of the net. On this episode...
I'm going to work out whether there's more strawberries or old men in this world.
I'm investigating the shape of stadiums.
And there'll be some any other business.
Do you know what's happening right now, Beck?
The Women's World Cup?
Yeah. No. Australia are playing Denmark in the knockout round.
Oh.
And I haven't looked up the score yet.
Oh, as in while we're recording?
Literally now.
Right.
As of...
I thought you meant when this episode comes out.
59 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Kickoff. So we're like 2/3 of the way through. People listening, you know, because you're in the future. So shall we look up the score?
Let's have a look.
Australia. Half time.
Yeah.
We're up 1-0.
Yes.
Look at that.
And people in the future will probably be like, oh, bless them.
Bless them.
They went to...
They were there at halftime.
Yeah. Ended on one versus nine. Before the incident.
Yeah. The national disgrace.
Hello, wow. New listeners, by the way.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
Not a sport podcast.
Yeah.
So, Beck, now we've got the score live.
Yeah.
Have you been?
I'm good. It's funny you should mention this because yesterday I was in Glasgow.
What?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me you were in Glasgow.
I know. It was very last minute.
Wow.
Basically, they were doing a pre-record of Saturday Mashup for CBBC,
yep.
Which I've done a few times. Someone dropped out, one of their guests, and I've done it enough that they've got...
Minimal back prep.
They've got back research on me so they can come up with some questions and I already know what's going on. So they went, can you get to Glasgow? And I went... All right. So I jumped up on a train. I went up on Saturday night so I could get some work done. And then we pre-recorded. So at the time that this episode comes out, I would have just been on television 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they asked me...
What a striker.
For this one, they said, we've got a game. And basically, I had to kick goals.
Oh, wow.
How'd that go? Not as well as I would have liked. You had to try and kick as many as you could in 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
And so my tactic was to just keep putting down the ball and kicking it and keep doing it.
Numbers game.
So I got 6.
Well done.
Yes,
thank you. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think it was all right.
Good.
There was a ghost in the goalie. A ghoulie. Yeah, which...
That's pretty funny.
Is pretty funny, which I think is cheating because when someone in a sheet holds up their arms,
they're basically a huge barrier.
Yeah. So yeah, I was up in Glasgow doing that. I got gunged.
Properly gunged. Children's TV.
Yeah, like sitting in a chair and like doused and gunged. Yeah, it was really
fun. What an adventure.
Yeah. And up until 3 a.m. yesterday, I've just finished my DJ set.
Oh, this is DJ coming out B-Chill. Right after B-Chill.
Yeah.
Back up to Edinburgh.
Named after lots of people gave suggestions.
That's great suggestions.
Last year.
But B-Chill's a good one.
Mm. So yeah, it was fun. Very much enjoyed it. I got to dress up as a giant dinosaur as well in those big inflatable dinosaur outfits and do an obstacle course.
Children's TV.
What about you? Have you been?
I, after New York, went to the Amazon rainforest. So I've had some pretty exciting things.
Yeah.
I've been up and down trees to see macaw nests. I've been like on the Amazon River. I got stung by a bullet ant.
Yeah. And I had to really press everyone in our... We have a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Because I was not on that part of the trip.
We're all being deliberately stung by a bullet ant, for people who are wondering.
And I was holding on to find out what had happened, whether you guys died.
We survived.
You survived.
Listeners, you got to wait for the video. Oh my goodness, it's pretty funny. But I thought I would bring something for show and tell from the Amazon.
Ooh.
Because I checked, I was allowed to take it, and I brought it back.
Okay.
While I was there, I found a rock which is more shaped like a cube than any rock I've ever seen in my life. So we're at a research center in the Peruvian rainforest. And some of the researchers were like, hey, we got some time off this afternoon. We can jump in one of the boats, see if we can go up and down the rivers, see if we can spot any jaguars.
Wow.
And then we can pull over, have a beer just somewhere at sunset. And we're like, yes, please. No jaguars. Didn't see any jaguars. Saw an ocelot a footprint.
Porsche.
That was good car joke.
Thank you. I said Lamborghini earlier, but you were in the zone.
Oh, so you looped back around for a second pass.
I did. I was like,
pass.
He must have missed that because that's a great gag.
Are there any other cars named ocelot after animals?
Are there any other cars related to animals?
Yeah.
Beetle.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I saw beetles. Plenty of beetles. So many. But on this trip, saw an ocelot footprint, not an actual ocelot.
Now,
that's as good as it gets.
And ocelots are like tiny...
Tiny jaguars. Yeah, I guess so.
Like a sort of cat, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the big cat family.
How do you titillate an ocelot?
How do you titillate an ocelot? I don't know.
You oscillate its tits a lot.
I cannot communicate the glee on Beck's face before, during, and particularly after the telling of that joke.
I think I love it because it's like, it's rude enough for it to be so enjoyable as a kid.
Yep.
But like, if any kids are listening, I feel like no one can get angry at me. It's not that rude.
There are ruder things. That is the line you walk in your career.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very funny.
Sorry.
Do you need a moment?
No, I'm good. So.
So.
You saw ocelot footprints.
Then I had to wee. And I was like, all good, like in any kind of film set in a jungle, it gets exciting when one person leaves the group to wander off on their own.
Yeah.
So I was like, give that a go. Went off, had a wee. On the way back, before I could see the group again, I happened to look down and saw a rock that was more shaped like a cube than any natural rock I've seen in my life. Look at that.
First of all, it's bigger than I expected. I thought it was going to be like the size of a dice.
No, that's why it's particularly impressive. The size is an aspect of why it's so amazing.
I feel like... I think I was expecting it to be very cubish.
What? No, okay.
And this is like the cube that the child would make with Play-Doh.
Yeah, but nature did that.
No, I know. Yeah, that is...
I think what the problem might be is you're comparing it to a perfect cube. And what you should be comparing it to is every other rock that's not shaped like a cube.
Yeah.
Look at it.
I'm almost doubtful that this is a natural rock. Like, that's, it feels more like something that was a cube and has been worn down.
No. That started as a rock. I also found a rock that shaped a lot like a right angle triangle.
Now, see, that is way more impressive.
I should have opened with a triangle.
It looks like a sandwich.
Look, it does. Look at it.
It literally looks like a sandwich. That is like, if you put that in a... I kind of want to get a sandwich before we record the next episode.
To compare it.
So I can put it into the packet.
So you reckon I should have opened with a triangle?
No. That's the correct order.
Okay, I build up to the triangle.
I would have been disappointed if you then brought out the cube.
Because I find the cube more impressive, but every other human...
But this is like a right angle.
Every other human's been more amazed. But this is all right angles.
No, it's not. It's within
nature tolerances.
Gives me great joy to hold.
Isn't it a great rock?
Yeah, I'm really, really thrilled with it.
So anyway, I went to the Amazon rainforest.
We'll put photos on...
Found some great rocks.
We'll put photos on socials. When I hold it like this, my palm goes into that small dent. Yeah. Makes me feel very safe.
Great rock.
Yeah, those are good rocks.
New mascot for the show.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm totally happy.
The triangle rock?
Cube can
go. Hey, leave cube out of this. Our first problem was sent in on the problem posing page at aproblemsquared.com. And Dahe? I want to say Dahe.
It's spelled D-A-J-E.
They were wondering if there are more strawberries or old men on Earth. And they elaborate as to why they want to know this. They say, a kid I live with... They're referring to offspring? I don't know. They live with a child named Elliot.
Maybe Elliot helps pay the rent.
Maybe.
Like a housemate.
Yeah, it could be a niece or nephew or something.
Yeah.
Elliot asked when they were eating their newly picked strawberries, because in the language they were talking, in Swedish, apparently the word for strawberry is jordguba. I'm not going to say that ever again. But it's made of two parts, jord, meaning soil or dirt or earth, and guba, meaning old man. So the literal translation of the strawberry from the Swedish is dirt old man. That's ridiculous. But it did, well, it makes me wonder a lot of things. It made Elliot wonder, are there more regular old men or are there more dirt old men in the world? Which is to say, are there more strawberries or old men? And now we know why that's important. Beck, you've worked it out.
Yes. Well, and by worked it out, I Googled it.
How can that be Googleable?
Well, that's what I thought. And then the first thing that came up was a website, which was bedtimemath.org.
Excellent. So I'm on board already.
A maths website for children.
To do at bedtime.
That was like, love it. Are there more strawberries or people?
Oh, okay. And or people.
Yeah. But I figured that then gives me like, that'll give me a better understanding of how many strawberries or there people are. There are.
Yeah, in the world. Can I have a guess?
Sure.
What do you want to do first?
Well, no, have a guess.
Because one way of doing people versus strawberries is how many people... I guess it changes with the season, right? Because there's not always the same number of strawberries. Because they're in season or out of season. But if we're talking in season, what percentage of the world's population eats strawberries? And if it's one in N people eat strawberries... Is N bigger or smaller than the number of strawberries that you get like in a punnet or at a time for a person?
Ooh.
So I would say...
I should never let you come in early. It always undoes everything that I was like, came to believe. But you're dead right.
I reckon like 1 in 20 people eat strawberries and there aren't 20 strawberries in a punnet. So I reckon there's more people than strawberries.
Also, do you mean eat strawberries regularly or just in general?
Just in general. Mm. At any point in time in the strawberry season.
I reckon it's like 1 in 100.
Oh, really?
Just because there'll be a lot of people out there who don't have access to strawberries.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but I was thinking strawberry eating places are like Europe, probably North America. And that's roughly like probably, let's say 2 billion.
Yeah.
1 to 2 billion out of 8 billion. So it's a quarter.
Well.
And of those, I thought 1 in 5. Yeah. Hit me with the actual numbers.
I would if I could.
Oh.
Because.
Oh, no.
Because I saved the link.
Yep.
Lovely little link, which was bedtimemath.org/fun-math-strawberries-versus-people.
Love it. And my kind of URL.
Turns out that they have removed that page since I did this. And I didn't put anything else in my document because I was like, well, I'll just read it off the site.
Have you looked it up on archive.org?
I have not.
Cached copies. So there's a website for people who are unfamiliar with archive.org who... try to cache different snapshots of the internet at different points in time. So you can go there and you can put in a URL and it will show you like a calendar of all the times it went and saved a version of any given website. I find it extremely useful when I'm doing research for a book or even for this podcast where there was information online in the past, but it's no longer available. You can often use this to dig back in time.
Why do you think... it would no longer be there for some of your
maybe
things.
Big strawberry
got to them.
Yeah, got to them. So pick a year when you want to have a look at the website, and then the calendar, if you scroll down, they highlight the days where they, and if you click on that time, that'll give you the website at that time on that date in that year.
I imagine the numbers are different.
Well, this is 2016 numbers.
This is 2016 numbers. So the way they worked it out, they looked at how many strawberries we produce.
Good start.
A year.
Yep.
In 2016, it was 4.5 million tons.
4.5 million tons?
Yeah. And then they did a ton has 2,000 pounds.
Per year, I guess.
Yeah, in a year. A ton has 2,000 pounds, so that comes to about 9 billion pounds of strawberries. Obviously, we've got coming up to 8 billion people in the world.
Yep.
So we know for a fact that there are more strawberries than people.
Yeah, but those strawberries won't all exist at the same time.
But that's the thing, is you raised that and I realized, I saw this and went, Ah, well, they've answered it. And then never thought about the question anymore. But this is why I said to you before we started recording, I said, Matt, I've got quite a lot of problems here that I have solutions to.
Yep.
But I'm meant to be doing the big problem in this episode.
Yep.
So how about I just go with this one? Because I have a feeling it'll end up being bigger than I think. And that's exactly what's happened.
You were spot on.
Yeah. So we have to work out how many strawberries exist.
At a point in time.
Now, I hear what you're saying about seasons, but I will say that strawberries are produced in many different countries.
That's a good point, actually. Like, I'm thinking locally.
Because
I should be eating globally.
Well, I think it's meant to be the other way around, environmentally.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, I did have some of the stats. So, for instance, in 2019, China produced over 242 billion strawberries.
What?
Using sort of medium strawberry.
That's,
they say it's about 12 grams per strawberry.
Ridiculous. 242 billion strawberries.
Yeah, the United States produced about 85 billion strawberries.
Oh, there's definitely more strawberries.
Mexico produced around 72 billion strawberries. And the United Kingdom produced around 11.5 billion strawberries.
Give me those numbers again. 242.
242
yep.
in China, 85 in the States.
Yep.
Mexico, United Kingdom, 11.5. This is based on like how many pounds of strawberries are produced by these countries.
Right, got it.
And then sort of divided by the average strawberry weight.
This is like 2019.
This is 2019.
Can I just say that is an unimaginable amount of strawberries? That's too many.
It's too many strawberries.
It's too many.
But when you think about it, like, how many strawberries would you eat in a sitting? What?
Am I not eating enough strawberries at a time?
When I have strawberries, I have like the whole punnet.
You have the strawberries.
I eat the whole punnet because it comes with that little film on top and you can't reseal it. And I'm not going to put it in Tupperware.
I know. Yeah, good point.
It's like wine.
It's like wine. It goes off.
Yeah.
Once it's open, it's not aging anymore. So across those four countries, averaged, it's just over 200 strawberries per person in the population.
Okay.
200
but that's per year.
Per year.
And that's not...
200 strawberries on average. So me...
It's a lot of punnets, isn't it?
Barely touching strawberries. Someone else has to really put the numbers in to make up for me not eating my allotment of, according to my numbers, 211.8 strawberries.
Yeah, I'm trying to guess how many are in those sort of big punnets you get from the shops. It's definitely not 200.
No, but maybe we're not eating all the strawberries that are produced.
Yeah, like, a lot of them will go off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there's like a ton of food waste that happens.
Maybe you're right. Maybe the import-export nature of this is throwing my numbers off.
That they get eaten or not, they're going to cease to exist at some point.
Yes. Oh, yes. They're being produced. They're producing between them 410 billion strawberries, which compared to the world population of 8 billion is still 51 strawberries per human just from those four countries' production. That's so many strawberries.
Yeah, where are they going? Wimbledon.
Wimbledon.
Yeah. There's got to be facts on how many strawberries. I'm going to look it up.
So many strawberries.
Each year, more than 38.4 tons of strawberries and 445 kilograms of raspberries are picked and consumed during Wimbledon.
That's so ridiculous.
38.4 tons of strawberries.
38.4 tons of strawberries.
They must mean like in general, not just at the... Not
during
at
the time,
tennis.
Just at the tennis. Wait, what's the audience size
at Wimbledon?
It says
during the tournament. But do they mean like at Wimbledon? Or just people watching at home?
Tons of strawberries.
It says that's more than 140,000 punnets.
Because I could imagine 140,000 spectators total, averaging a punnet each. I'm just trying to work out where's the unseen strawberry market. Maybe some of the production goes into like strawberry concentrate to flavor ice cream or something. I don't know. I'm guessing here. So they're not all eaten as strawberries. Maybe they're used in some other food process. Does Starbucks do like a strawberry syrup? Maybe that's where they're all going.
To strawberry syrup?
Yeah.
I like
really
how you're
concentrated
immediately
strawberry.
Going to that instead of obvious things like cakes, donuts, jam, Matt, jam. Think jam. Of how much jam there is in the world.
I'm trying to think of the densest place for strawberries to end up. So... how long does a strawberry last for? Because what we could do, if you work out the lifespan of a strawberry, we could work out what fraction, if that's across a year, we could work out what fraction exists at any point in time.
So, strawberries last up to 1 to 2 days in the counter, 5 to 7 days in the refrigerator, 6 to 8 months in the freezer. Now, there will be frozen strawberries out there.
That's true.
So we have to remember...
A couple of weeks
on average. Need to know how many strawberries are frozen.
Well,
how many strawberries are in stasis?
That's true. I would ballpark say the average strawberry lives 1 to 2 weeks, which means you divide your total number of the year...
I would say 1 week.
...by 50 or 25. Okay, by 50.
Yeah.
To get the number of strawberries in existence at one point in time. But now we know there are that many just at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
There's definitely more strawberries than people.
Now that we know there's more strawberries than people, there's definitely more strawberries than old men.
Because the set of people is by necessary.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the set of old men. Yeah.
So there's your answer.
I thought I'd have to estimate how many old men there are by thinking about populations and demographics, but no.
I did start.
There's more strawberries.
To look that up in case you asked. And in 2019, there were 703 million persons aged 65 years or over in the world. That's, I'm sure there's probably a lot of 65 or 66-year-olds out there who are like, excuse me.
I feel old.
My mum is 65 and she says that she will consider herself middle-aged till the day she dies.
I've been considering myself middle-aged since late teenagehood.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm that front-loading checks out.
My middle-agedness.
Whereas I had an audition recently to play a mother and I was telling you that my reaction was instantly like, come on. Then
I can't play that old.
When I thought about it, I was like, oh no, I've got friends with kids the same age as the child. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Congratulations. What food product is there the same amount of as humans?
Are we going for like naturally grown food then?
Nah, it could be anything. It could be like, you know.
Like pizzas.
Pizzas, yeah. Well, a lot of pizza recently. Yeah. That's what, you know what, listeners, let us know.
On the problem posing page
for now.
I say this because we are considering
having a...
either a Discord or a Reddit or something.
If you've got an opinion about that, let us know as well.
Yeah. So at the moment, go to problemsquared.com. Yeah.
Pick solution.
Yeah. And then tell us either what food you think at any one point...
At any point in time has parity, one-to-oneness...
With the population.
Yeah.
And tell us whether you think a Reddit or a Discord or a different option...
Or other format.
...would be good. Because we think that some of the people send us solutions to the database and they're so good and in-depth or have great links.
Or two of them, you're like, these two people just need to talk to each other.
Yeah. And we want to share them on the podcast, but...
It's a finite podcast.
Yes. Well, there you go. I hope you're happy, Elliot.
Guess what? 2-0 to Australia.
Get the strawberries in.
Get some straws.
The next problem is for Matt.
I'm ready.
Yep.
Yep.
This is your dinglet, your wing ding.
My tiny problem.
Your tiny problem. This is from Jim.
Jim
says, the USA is playing Sweden in the Women's World Cup.
Right. And you know, it's full time.
Is it right now?
2-0. Australia
ours.
Beat Denmark. Yeah, Denmark are now out. Australia's through to the next round.
Oh, we won!
Yeah.
Hooray! I don't know if USA is playing Sweden right now.
Right, probably not right now.
Probably already happened.
They're on the other side of the knockout tournament.
Ah.
So in a perfect world, we play England in the semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
And then we play USA in the final.
Ooh.
And by we, I'm referring to Australia, for people who are confused by the accents.
Yeah, that's true. So the USA is playing some old men.
Yeah, some old men from Sweden. A bunch of straubs, they call them.
Bunch of straubs. Is playing Sweden, the Women's World Cup in Melbourne Rectangular Stadium. Is that the name of it?
Isn't that incredible? It is.
This is how much attention I've paid to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And it has me thinking, how geometrically accurate is this name? Is this stadium more or less rectangular than the average football stadium, or soccer stadium, as you and I would say, as both an Australian and someone who has campaigned publicly against geometrically incorrect footballs, I believe Matt is uniquely qualified to get to the bottom of this.
You know it. I had no idea it was called the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium.
Yeah.
How incredible is that?
The old MRF. Oh. Wait, so the Women's World Cup is being played in the Misses?
Oh,
come on, guys. Why can't it just be Melbourne Stadium?
Should be just Melbourne Stadium.
Should just be Miz.
Actually, it's now, it's like Amy Park, AMI.
It's an insurance isn't it?
So the reason I never realized it's called the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium is because it always goes by the branded name of Amy Park. And that's why I'd never realized underneath the branding,
it's
the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium. And I get very excited. I'm a big fan of venues that are shape-based.
And you'll find that most of them are.
They are all shape. I do regular stuff at the Reading Hexagon.
Nice.
So pleasing.
Have you done the Cube Theatre in Bristol?
I have not done the Cube Theatre in Bristol. I should add that to the list. I think I did. I have done a Cube. Is there a Cube in like...
Birmingham?
Birmingham Cube. I've done the Birmingham Cube. That's it. I did it on the Humble Pie Tour. So the Hexagon's great because backstage you can see the sides of the Hexagon, which is very, very pleasing. In Australia, I played the Octagon.
Okay.
Which is at UWA. So that was particularly pleasing because it doubles up as a lecture theatre at the university. And it's like a proper like touring show theatre. Nice. And I'm always very excited when I get to play a shape venue. And I can't believe I didn't know there was a rectangular stadium. And then I realized why there's a rectangular stadium. And it became super obvious. Do you want to have a guess? Why?
Is there a square stadium?
No. Good guess though.
Is it
close?
There's another shape stadium. Yeah. What's MCG stand for? I used to live near that.
Melbourne Ground.
Oh, no.
You're close, though. That's the other shape.
Oh. So, what? Because an oval?
Yeah, it's an oval. You get oval stadiums and you get rectangle stadiums, depending on which sports are being played on the pitch.
Interesting. So, because I also... And this harks back to a much, much older episode. I'm not going to try and find it because it isn't pertinent. But long listeners will remember that I once asked, we're sitting at a table.
Oh, yes.
That is essentially a halved circle.
Yep.
With a
rectangle in the middle.
In the middle, rectangle in the middle. And I asked you once what's the name of the shape called. Yeah. And you were like, I don't think it has a name. And I was like, what are you talking about?
How can a shape not have a name?
And you were like, some shapes don't have names. And I was like, but someone had to make this. And that means that there's probably a name for it. And I looked it up and found out that it is called a stadium.
Yes.
It is also called a sausage body.
Old sausage body.
My favorite one.
I thought the disco rectangle.
Disco. I think we posted special. It on like Twitter and Instagram, like tag yourself.
And I guess this is a stadium in that when you had like chariot racing and stuff, this is the shape you'd go for.
Yeah. And a three-dimensional one is a capsule.
A capsule.
When you think of like a pill.
It's like a pill. But for sport, if you're playing a sport that needs an oval, you have loads of oval-shaped stadiums. So anything involving cricket.
And they're using stadium in terms of something that seats people.
Seats people around
rather than
a
the
pitch.
Shape.
Yes. Yes. As opposed to the shape stadium.
The other one was O-Round. That was one.
The O-Round.
O-Round.
Yep.
There's a new one. Squectangle.
Squectangle.
Which is dumb because Squectangle. That sounds like a rectangular square, which is
Nah, no deal.
Where's the round bits in
Where's the round? So, some sports need ovals. In fact, there's a stadium, there's a whole tube station called Oval in London.
Although, you want to know something interesting.
I always want to know something interesting.
Here.
Yep. In the UK, where we are right now.
They don't have ovals. Not in the...
What?
They do, but not in the sense that you... So, in Australia, almost every school has an oval.
Oh, you mean like that? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's because you play football on it.
You play football on it.
Cricket, there's usually a cricket pitch
Aussie
in the middle.
Aussie rules football, yep.
Yeah, Aussie rules football. And so, almost every school...
Has an oval.
If it's got some sort of grounds.
Yeah.
And here, I was like, well, there's loads of schools that have grounds.
Yeah.
And so when I was writing Horror Heights, I was like, oh, they walked across the school oval.
Oh.
And had loads of references to that. It's even in the map.
And the editor's what is this?
In the map in the book. And the editor was like, you keep saying this and I don't know what this means.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean it doesn't? Well, I was like, where do the kids play? And they were like, the playing field. And that's when I realized they don't have... It's not referred to in the same, and then I asked Gav and he was like, I would never say at the Oval.
I think it's the same reason because in a lot of countries, you have a few dominant sports.
Yeah.
That take certain shaped pitches. Mm. It's like in the US, obviously baseball diamond.
Yep.
Classic. So the stadium for playing baseball is specific to baseball because of that shape.
Yeah.
And then you've got American football. That's a rectangle. And so they have lots of rectangular pitches, same as football, as in like soccer. I'm just going to switch to the more specific versions of all the different footballs in the interest of clarity. So soccer is on a rectangular pitch, so you can double up with that piece of cake. Cricket is like one of the exceptions. Mm-hmm. And so obviously in the US, you don't really get ovals because they haven't got any oval-shaped sports. In the UK, you get some ovals because cricket's a thing. But you can play cricket on a rectangle in a pinch.
Like casual cricket that people play in the weekends and stuff, like in a village.
Like the cricket green near where I used to live is just the shape of that bit of land where they put the cricket pitch.
How do they know when I've hit a six?
I think you just lay out. Do you put out a temporary like rope or
jumpers?
Something? Yeah. Everyone's shoes. I think you could mark out the boundary, but it's like temporary.
Yeah.
Australia, however, repurposed the cricket pitch for Aussie rules football.
Oh, so we're the only ones that
have a significant number of ovals because we play Aussie rules football as well.
Yeah.
And so an oval is dual purpose. And the combination of cricket, which is big in Australia, and Aussie rules, which is big in Australia, means that it's worth having a dedicated oval. Whereas in other countries, it's not worth having a dedicated oval.
How do they change it? You know, as I said, I used to live very close to the MCG, like three doors away. It was a very big share house. Yeah. I'm not rich. But the MCG, obviously, they have the big football games there.
Yep. Oval.
As well as the cricket. But the cricket's like the cricket pitch. How do they swap out the cricket pitch for the grass, for the oval?
They cover it in grass.
But does that mean you could trip over at the edge? Do they roll it out?
I think they just kind of stick it down. But that's why the seasons are... The seasons are offset. So summer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Aussie They're rules. Not swapping out.
No, it's not constant. It's like, you know, 6 months at a time.
So we've got a two-hour turnover.
Quick, go. Turn around. And then we got a dance coming in, and then we're using a swimming pool that's under here.
Yeah, and then we're going to freeze it for ice skating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. It's so you can use your oval year-round. Then you switch to Aussie rules in the winter.
Got it.
And then back to cricket.
Yeah.
So we have loads of dedicated ovals. But here, like Wembley Stadium, it's a rectangle because it's used for football. And so this is why we had to specify.
Well, the inside is rectangular.
The inside is rectangular. Yes, very good point. But the reason we do have rectangles is obviously we do play a decent amount of soccer in Australia. Not a huge amount, but some. Rugby league, that needs a rectangle. Mm. So it tends to be places that are rugby stadia, are the rectangular ones. And then you have the oval for your footy and your cricket, which is why the World Cup being held between New Zealand and Australia, they're basically using rugby league rectangular stadiums to host soccer football matches. Huh. And I was like, well, there you go. I'd never really thought through why we have so many ovals and why we had to specify this one's a rectangle, because that's the exception.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's Rod Laver Arena, but that's not really big enough on the inside.
Where's that? Oh, is that the tennis location?
Yes.
Bit small.
Yeah, a little bit. It's our Wimbledon.
Too blue.
We make 1,000 tons of strawberries.
Now, you raised a very, very good point about what's the outside.
I think all sports fields should be the shape of the ball. So Aussie rules would be fine.
Fine, tick.
Done. Everyone else has to change to basically a circle. So maybe table tennis should be the table should be the shape of a paddle.
That would work. And you play like on the symmetric axis.
Yeah.
So it's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could try and trick them by going down the end that doesn't have much table. Is this stadium more or less rectangular than the average football stadium?
So in Australia, more rectangular. Because the football stadiums are ovals.
Yes.
But I'm using the word football there very generously. In terms of being a rectangle, I started to think about measures of rectangularness.
Is there any wrong rectangle?
No. I mean, you could say if it was a square, then that the squareness overrides the rectangleness.
Oh, yes.
But squares are rectangles.
Yeah.
They're just a specific type. So then I was like, oh, maybe being a rectangle is being further away from being a square. But then the extreme of that is very long, skinny, like
a landing strip.
Line. Yeah, yeah.
It's a road.
It's a road.
That's what you've done.
So there has to be a point in the middle where you're like, this is maximum rectangle. And then I was like, you know what? I don't think that's really the best way to solve this problem, because the ratio, the rectangularness of the pitch is standardized for different sports.
Yeah.
So the pitch itself, being a rectangle, are very standard rectangles. So I had the same thought you had. I was like, what about the rest of the building?
Mm.
Is the whole building a rectangle, or is just the pitch a rectangle?
Well, you said that some of the places that the games are being played, the matches are being played, are like repurposed rugby league. Is that the same dimensions?
Oh, I don't know.
A rectangle?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because sure, the markings are different.
Should we look it up?
Yeah. I mean, that means that a rugby field must be at least the width of a standard football field.
I've got a prediction before I look up football field, soccer. I think because it's such an old sport from the UK, there's going to be like a range of acceptable pitch sizes. So like in baseball, all the different baseball stadiums have different shaped fields because of how old it is.
Whoa. Does that mean that you, some places you could get a home run and others you couldn't?
Oh, that's a whole thing.
Even if you hit the same 100%, distance?
100%,
yes.
That's a whole area of baseball-ness.
We're back to baseball again.
I went and saw a game. Of the two games I've seen, the other one was in Boston. And the stadium is so old and there wasn't enough land when they built it that one of the walls is way too close and they've made it super high. It's called the Green Monster because it's this ridiculously close, tall wall. And from memory, they've just painted a line. They're like, yeah, above here's a home run.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, as soon as if it hits a point, then that must be counted.
But different playing fields change what would be a home run in one field may not be a home run in a different field. Because of the different geometry.
This is what I don't like about baseball. I get that people like it because there's loads of stats and there's different ways that you can like look at them and analyze them and stuff. But there are so many variables that I feel like it's just a bunch of people trying to create meaning from chaos. And I'm not. You know how my brain is. I like specifics. I like closed finished things.
That's stats in a nutshell. And so when I talked about at the beginning of the show that I'm the sports analyst, that was like the Moneyball revolution in baseball, where people realized there's a delicate line in stats between teasing out underlying patterns from the randomness versus reading tea leaves by accident and you're seeing things that aren't there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the genius of stats is being able to determine the difference or at least some certainty about which one's which. And so it definitely can be done because sports teams pay a lot of money and see a lot of benefit from doing that. So it turns out rugby also has a range. It has to be 68 meters wide, but it can be anywhere between 112 and 102 meters long. I don't know if that's the touchdown bits are different sizes or the actual pitch is different, but the ratio is between 1.65 and 1.8.
This is dumb.
So let's look at it's so dumb. Sports. Let's look at football. Oh my goodness. It can be anywhere between 45 meters and 90 meters wide.
What?
No.
That must be counting like if you're playing on a small
school. Yeah, that can't be like Premier League regulations.
No.
But strictly speaking, wow.
See, now I understand if it changes because it's not based on something that people are professionally making money from.
You could have a square-shaped soccer pitch because you could have 90 in both directions as an acceptable measurement. It's the widest you're allowed and the shortest you're allowed.
I think we've just found your next video.
That's hilarious.
We're going to put together a team.
That's so special.
I have found that FIFA, their recommended field of play dimensions are 105 meters by 68 meters. And it says the field of play must be rectangular. So no square pitch.
No squares.
No square pitch for
or
FIFA
Or it just
level.
Can't be wibbly wobbly. Do you want to see what the Melbourne rectangular stadium looks like from above?
Yes. Matt showing the picture. We'll put this on socials. We'll put this on socials. At a problem squared.
There you go.
It looks like, you know what it looks like?
What does it look like?
It looks like an iPad case for a child in the shape of a cloud.
Yes, yes.
So that when your kid drops the iPad, it doesn't get broken.
Yep.
But look at that. There's a perfectly round.
Right next to an oval, which is very
pleasing.
That's not
an oval. That is a circle.
That's not a circle.
I mean, from where I am sitting,
it is. Yeah, that's true of a lot of ellipses. So that's the rectangular stadium. And so I thought, well, why don't I just look up if there's a more rectangular stadium in Australia with a bigger capacity than this one. Because if it's got more seats and more rectangular, then it's the superior.
Define more rectangular again?
Well, that's a good point. By looking at it and thinking, is that a rectangle? So what would you give that? What would you give that marks out of rectangle?
I mean, I think that's the perfect rectangle.
But the outside, look at this, it's bubbly.
Oh, you're counting the outside.
100%, because the inside's always going to be a rectangle.
Yeah.
Because it's the pitch.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were trying to say like...
But you're right, maybe the inside...
If it's of a different...
Inside's less bubbly, I'll give you that.
Yeah, the outside, that is very circular. That is very... It's very cloud-like.
Yeah, but it's rectangle-inspired.
Yeah, so it's like a biscuit.
Yeah, like a biscuit. Like a nice biscuit or something like that.
Yeah.
So I then looked up the list of all the different stadiums in Oceania, so New Zealand, Australia, etc. And then I discounted the ovals. So the biggest one is the MCG.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, but it's an oval. Second one.
The best thing about living near the MCG is that during the football finals, if you were hanging out your washing in the backyard, it would sound like thousands of people were cheering from you.
Right. But only for hanging out your washing.
Yeah. Anyone who lives near a stadium will know how exciting that is to do something boring.
Do something mundane and then there's a huge roar of the crowd.
Yeah.
Second biggest stadium in Sydney, Rugby League. So it's branded the Accor Stadium. I don't know what it's...
Accor, I think it's another...
Stadium Australia. Thing. That's its legitimate name.
Mm.
Non-branded name, Stadium Australia. That's a rectangle. And so it looks like, from the air, that.
Oh, it's a circle around
it. It's
a huge circle
around the rectangle, Stadium Australia. Look at that. So now that's unambiguously not...
I would argue that the bigger you get, the more circular it's going to be so they can fit more people.
Well, you're right. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. To fit 80 whatever thousand people in there.
Because if you have a straight line, then that, if you're looking visually, that means you're probably
what
your
you
line
want to
of
be,
sight.
If you have to sit right in the back row, you want to be near the corner because that's the minimum distance.
Yeah.
From seat to pitch.
But if you made that, if you went from the outer edges of that circle.
Yeah.
Or from here, it looks like a circle. It might be
an oval. It's definitely a circle. See. Yeah.
If you went from the outer edges and then made that a big square, then to be in the corner, I think you'd be far too far away from the action.
Listeners, basically, we're looking at a perfect circle with a rectangle in the middle.
Hmm.
And so not very rectangular. So, all right, back to the list. What do we got next? There's a Optus Stadium that's in Perth. That's an oval. I've been there to see cricket. Adelaide Oval. Marvel Stadium, that's football, as in like Aussie rules.
Yeah, you know it's actually owned by Marvel, as in...
No.
I went past it when I was in Melbourne.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. It's like owned by Marvel.
Capitalism
and it's all
is the
like
worst.
It's all superhero themed.
Brisbane, Suncorp Stadium.
Okay.
Okay, it's got 52,000. For the record, this is number 6 on the list, including ovals. Before we get down,
can't believe there isn't a BuzzFeed listicle about this.
Number six, exciting. Number 16 is the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium.
Okay.
So we need to find something before we get down to 16 that's more rectangular.
Okay.
Because it only sits 30,000 people. And this one up here at 6 is 52,000. It looks like that.
It looks like an Ethernet connection.
Oh, it looks like a Cat 5 port.
Yeah.
That's a rectangle. Look how rectangular that is. That's a stadium embracing its rectangle. This here.
Actually, yeah, you know what?
Boom.
Yeah,
perfect rectangle.
Right. That is a rectangle.
Even the extra bits that are on for infrastructure purposes are themselves chunky rectangles.
Yeah, you're right. It looks like a picture frame that has someone got a bit carried away and put some extra bits of frame on it.
That's a rectangular stadium.
Yeah.
And it's bigger. The stadium's rectangular. The pitch is rectangular. The add-on bits are rectangular. So, real name, Lang Park, Suncorp in Brisbane, is the most rectangular stadium in Australia.
There you go.
There you are.
Jim, I hope you're happy. I hope, look, if anyone else was like, I have found this enjoyable, but I also did wonder, have we done that thing where we're enjoying this?
And
then
everyone else is like, why?
And if you didn't enjoy it, blame Jim.
Let us know. Yeah. Number one, Jim's fault.
I think probably
number zero,
everyone loved it.
I'd love to hear if you got a better rectangular stadium. Because I only looked at Australia, to be honest.
Yeah.
If
there is a weird playing field.
Is there a
different
shape? We've got diamonds,
yep.
Ovals, mm-hmm. Rectangles. And we now know, technically, soccer, square.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I'm going to give that a ding.
It's a problem rectangled. Well, we've gone into extra time with any other business. Still running with the sport theme. Thank you very much. We have a ding.
Hooray.
That's exciting. A belated ding from episode 061, which was called Shifting Dates and Lifting Weights. I don't think it's that belated. What are we in now? 066?
Yeah.
Yes. Within the last 10, I think, counts as...
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So, they would like to send a belated ding to Beck for the one-minute lift ideas. Like Rick Astley in a broken lift, you were never going to let me down.
Yay!
That's pretty funny. We're on the bill with Rick Astley.
Astley.
Astley. What did I say?
Astley.
No, I'm...
Or is there someone called Rick Astley?
No, I was about to make a bunch of, you know, let's just give it
over. Also, we're not on the bill with Rick Astley. Rick Astley's doing the festival that we're at.
Yeah. And if you look at the bill for the festival.
We're not like the support act for Rick Astley.
No, but we're playing, we're on the.
Not on the same stage.
No, but if you look at a big poster for everyone, it's like the Blue Dot hoodie, right?
I am wearing it right now.
We're in there somewhere.
Yeah. We supported Groove Armada.
Exactly. Same deal. Now we're supporting Rick Astley.
Yeah.
So. They've tried a few of your yoga moves. I think I should get a ding residuals for the yoga move illustrations.
Although I'm very proud of my graphic work. I made a good-looking poster. I spent a full morning making that when I was definitely meant to be doing something else.
Yes, I could tell. You could just see it was dripping in procrastination. They've also tried out some of the world records. I guess they haven't broken any. We already heard about it. And this Christmas, they're planning to decorate the lift one item per day so it slowly becomes more Christmassy. Aww. Excellent. So there you are, Beck. You can get a ding for your lift suggestions.
They also said, thank you for the uplifting suggestions.
Oh, that's
true. Just feel like the pun required.
That's great. It's joke after joke.
Thank you, Just Ed. We also heard from Michael, who was responding to episode 063 Meta Magic Squares and Firehose Care.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael said, I'm sorry, did we gloss over the fact that Matt has a magic squares guy? As in, he knows someone who regularly supplies him with magic squares.
Correct.
Yeah, like, when you said it, I didn't question it at all.
It's perfectly normal.
At all. Because I thought it's either a joke, in which case I'm not giving him that. I'm not giving him...
Have you ever known me? To tell a joke.
Exactly. And so I was like, if it is a joke, it doesn't warrant a laugh. Or
like your honesty.
I was like,
friendship, professionalism, no, forget it. I will not laugh unless the joke is above my standards.
You know what? It's more that because it's so your world, and our listeners' worlds, that I feel like if I made fun of it, you'd be like,
what?
Yeah, it's really normal, Beck. And I'd be like, oh no. Oh, like, no. You know when people are like
you're not just insulting me.
Yeah.
You're insulting everyone.
Someone's like, oh.
In the magic square supply chain.
Where's a woman's viscountula? And I was like, oh, don't you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just made that up. I don't think a woman has a viscountula.
I wasn't in a position to question.
Yeah.
So
you have a magic square
guy. I got a magic square guy. I can't believe.
What's his
name?
No
one else has a magic square guy. Now, so hang on. I'm just going to check my inbox to see when the most recent magic square drop. Oh, yeah. New squares came in yesterday.
He's emailed you squares.
So Inda Tanija, who's been my square guy for a long time now. Years. I did a number 5 video way back where I referenced some of his work. And then I got put on his mailing list. And it's not just him. Other people chip in squares.
Oh, he has a mailing list.
Say a mailing list. Let me show you.
Going to say, does this mean that other people can sign up?
No.
So that he's
square guy. You don't sign up.
This is why you didn't want to tell me his name.
You got to know someone. So here's the email. It's come in. It says, double digits bordered magic squares. Ooh, breakthrough. And begins, dear friends. But as you can see, he is open CC'd.
Matt pointed at where it says friends as if to prove.
Uh-huh.
See?
Thank you.
I have one.
They laugh at all my jokes. Quality invariant.
You've got to make them first.
So they just copy all these people. They just, what is it, like 50 people? Wow. Maybe fewer? 30? That are just addresses in the open CC field.
That is a GDPR nightmare.
It is. And that's why people can occasionally chip in by replying. And it's all the people who have ongoing interest in Magic Squares. And they're sharing their recent ones. So let's have a little look. Oh, they've done orders 7 through 108. So I got a Magic Square guy.
Nice.
He hooks me up with the freshest Magic Squares.
There you go, Michael.
I hope that answered everyone's concerns and questions.
Mm.
We got some nice feedback on the problem posing page. I guess this is just a compliment. Compliment.
Yeah.
So Stephen here went to the problem posing page and they didn't pick problem or solution, but they did apologize. They said, sorry, it's not a problem. They just wanted to send a message. They saw Beck's show at Latitude, which is an incredibly middle-class festival here in the UK. They said that you killed it in a good way, as in, like, you blew the doors off the gig, but you didn't actually explode anything, and it was in a tent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'd seen some of your flip chart stuff on YouTube, and they thought it was great live, but they'd never seen your actual stand-up before, and they enjoyed that too.
Yes.
Now, they let it past you out in the public forum, and they wanted to come up and say hi and say thanks for the podcast, but it looked like you were with friends and having fun. Oh, you're laughing at their jokes. So they thought they'd leave you alone and not interrupt your evening. So they're now writing here. This is great. So they just wanted to say thank you for the stand-up set, and thanks, oh, to both of you. Thanks, Stephen, bit late, for the podcast.
I will say, thank you. First of all, thank you so much, Stephen.
Oh, yeah,
I really needed this, especially because I haven't done that many gigs for adults. I've been doing a lot of gigs for kids. And so I had a really lovely time, and the audience was great. But the entire time in my head, I was like, it felt like, and I said this is someone who can't drive, but I've had somebody drives confirm this. It felt like I was driving again, not just that, but trying to do it in a manual car. So the whole time, you're like, where's the gear?
Where's this?
Yeah. So I'm like, don't go too far. Like, my inner monologue was like, you're rushing, you're getting excited. Quick, go back. Stop going off on a tangent. Like, you've only got a certain amount of time. Yeah. And then I did a new flip chart bit, which I'd literally never done before. I'd run through it twice backstage before I went on stage, but I'd literally never tried it. And flip charts are like puppetry. So you kind of got to physically know what you're doing. Yep. And so I felt very flustered, but I really enjoyed myself. And it's nice to know that apparently the slight chaos in my head wasn't visible. So I really appreciate that. Yeah. And I will say, if anyone ever does see me in the wild and wants to say that they enjoyed this podcast, please do. I'll always
welcome
it.
You will shove your actual friends aside.
Oh my gosh, comedians have the lowest sense of self-esteem. Like, we run
out of the way.
We run on validation alone.
Social friend coming through.
Absolutely. Please come please over. Come tell me you enjoy the podcast. Those are highlights. Please always do that. Are you the same? Do you prefer you? Because I've been with you many times when people
say
stopped
hi.
To say,
yeah,
because there's got to be a lot of people out there who see you and aren't sure whether they can come up and say
something. It's interesting. I don't know what the ratio is. I don't know how you'd find this out, but I think a lot of people spot you, and some people realize who you are, and some people don't say hi but email you later, or don't say hi but never contact you, and some people come up and say hi. My favorite is when someone ends up in the wrong category by mistake, because if someone abruptly spots me, like comes around a corner or turns or whatever, their brain just says, hey, it's that person you know.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
They launch into hello, and then they're like, oh no,
yeah,
I have not planned ahead for this interaction.
I've done that with someone else. I once was chatting to them at a party as if we were old friends, and then very slowly realized that it was the woman who played Linda in series 2 of Round the Twist. And I was like, oh no, so this is just because I remember that's you as a child. Because I was like, I haven't seen you in ages. Like, of course I haven't seen her in ages.
True.
Never seen her in real life ever. I managed to, I think she genuinely thought that we had met a long time before.
You're very convincing.
Yeah. I like to think I was.
Excellent.
Right. We also heard from Ian on the problem posing page, who said the joke specifications of fire hoses, which was the same episode as the Magic Squares.
063, I think.
Yeah, it was adapted from an old set of joke pipe specifications from at least the 80s.
Oh.
And they've linked to it. Now, the link that they linked to was just like, someone's typed out the joke.
Oh,
like on
right.
A forum
type
thing.
Opened it up. Yeah.
There's no source that's been provided. So I have to take Ian's word for it that it's from the 80s. However, I can't find anything that definitely ages it as being from the 80s.
Got it.
The most I could find was I did manage to find one which was, it looks like it's been typewritten. And the reason I say that is because, again, it's at a slight, the border around it is slightly off. It's at a very slight angle, which suggests to me that it was
scanned. Scandal photo, yeah.
This one doesn't seem like a photo, though, because it feels still like it's face. There's no ketone or whatever it is in the, if you're projecting. There's none of that. It just looks like it's flat, but it's slightly at an angle. I think it's been scanned, which says to me that when it went up was in Resetology. I don't know when it was written, but someone posted it in a forum in 2018, and it was listed as Irish government pipes specification.
Classic.
There's also, I've seen versions written just on websites where it's like European government specifications. So it's always to like make fun of a government or to be a bit racist.
Yes.
Basically.
A classic genre.
So the version we had, the Australian one, still feels, that's the version to me that appears to be the oldest one.
Ooh.
Just, I haven't found anything that looks like it ages that way. Mm. I'm not saying the pipe's not the case, but terms of no hardcore evidence. Yeah, I suspect the pipe thing has been around for longer, but I haven't actually got any physical proof yet, other than Ian saying it's been around since the 80s.
Come on,
but
Ian.
Providing no further information.
Yeah.
So, again, the case continues. If anyone has seen older versions of this gag,
we'll link to the website that Ian sent us.
Yes.
So people can have a look at the text. If people want to do some digging,
we'll get there in the end.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast where we've solved many problems. It's full time. End of injury time. It's the end of the game. But we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the people on the bench, which are our fantastic Patreon supporters. That works.
Oh, on the bench.
On the bench. No, they're ready. They're ready to leap in at a moment's notice.
So if one of us is ill,
one of us is ill or injured. Yeah, we swap them in. Now, we like to thank three Patreon supporters picked at random every single episode. And so I rolled the random spreadsheet. It popped out three names, which are
Spooky. That's S-P-O-O-O-K-Y.
Three O's. Brian Purcell. Brian Purcell. One Brian Purcell.
And Ross George, or Ross George.
Is that the Swedish pronunciation?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So thanks again to our Patreon supporters who make this whole outfit viable. Huge thanks to everyone who listens and shares and talks about and reviews and comments and just does things that make this podcast sustainable and with an ever-growing audience to fill a stadium. I wonder what size stadium we are now. Well, that's it from us. Thank you so much for listening. Do tell your friends about the podcast, review it, do all those things. We appreciate everyone who listens and shares, and particularly people who support us on Patreon, but you don't have to do that. They do it, so you don't have to. Thank you very much to everyone. I've been Matt Parker, joined by Beck Hill, and our general manager, Lauren Armstrong Carter.
Cool!
So Beck, Sam R. went on the problem posing page to say their problem is they've seen what looks like a big jar of sweets on a shelf behind you in Matt's latest video. So I don't know, I guess they saw it in a video, but it pops up occasionally in the background of photos we take when we're recording, because we record often, but not always, in the same room where I film my YouTube videos.
Yes.
And they're referring to that jar.
Which I often think is a jar of sweets.
Oh, but it's not.
Disappointed.
And what is it, Beck?
Dice.
Oh, do you want to grab the big jar?
Yeah. It actually has less dice in it than normal.
Yeah, because I've used a bunch. So you look on the top shelf, there's like a model made out of dice.
Oh, yeah.
They're made ones from the jar. Yeah. So this, look at this. Look at that.
It's a big jar.
Big jar of dice.
It's almost the size of your head.
And Sam R. has said that this could replace the Is This Your Card? Or What Muppet Are You? Post-credit sequence, because we've finished the Muppets now.
Yeah.
I believe Lauren edited in something hilarious at the end of the New York episode. And now we can do the how many sweets are in the jar, or more specifically, how many dice. We're going to call it the Dice Bucket Challenge.
Nice.
How many? So I had to count them. So starting next episode, you've got to guess how many dice are in the jar. I don't know what the prize is yet. It's probably more dice. But I'm going to count them up before next time, and then you got to guess how many. And then I'm going to keep this under lock and key.
I think the prize should be
so it doesn't change.
A jar equivalent of sweets.
Okay, deal.